Climate change is perhaps the biggest challenge that our generation will face. We've all seen the news with breaking temperature records, flooding, forest fires, displaced communities, and storms of unprecedented size and power. These impacts are happening because of an increase in greenhouse gases, including carbon dioxide, that are trapping heat in our atmosphere. When we burn natural gas, coal, and oil for electricity, that represents 27% of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. If we are to prevent global temperatures from surpassing dangerous thresholds, we need to step away from fossil fuels and continue to adopt renewable energy sources like solar. Many homeowners around the world and right here in Hingham have invested in solar technology to power their homes, yielding both environmental and financial results. A group of local residents that are concerned about the threat of climate change have been promoting the adoption of green technologies like solar energy right here in Hingham to help our town reach a low carbon future. I spoke with two co-founders of the group Hingham Net Zero, including former Hingham Selectman Laura Burns and Hingham resident John Borger, about what this group is all about and what they're doing to promote solar energy right here in Hingham.
Well, last year, John Borger and Turner Bledsoe and I got together. It's about a little more than a year ago now, because we wanted to contribute to our communities being able to do our part towards combating climate change. We're a coastal community. There are tremendous impacts on our lives coming at us, and it's very important for the town to prepare for those eventualities and be ready for whatever comes, and the town has done a certain amount of work on that. But we felt like the piece that we were missing was, what are we going to do to actually prevent this from happening, or at least mitigating the impacts on us as well as on the most vulnerable people in the world? One of my reasons for wanting to found Hingham Net Zero was I realized that by doing my part here in my own town, I could actually alleviate the bad outcomes that are coming down the pike towards the most vulnerable populations in the world, in Bangladesh, in Northern Africa, the places where they're going to suffer the most. We here right in Hingham can actually do something not only to help our own children, but to help all the children of the world. So I was hoping that the town would design a plan to do our part towards mitigating climate change. And I thought that it would be easier for town officials to act if they knew that there were a group of people, citizens in Hingham, who were actively asking for that. And I knew there would be, that if we put out the call, that people would say, yes, I want our town to work on that. And that's exactly what happened. So the term net zero refers to having a net zero rate of carbon emissions based on your activities, whatever they are, whether it's driving a car or heating your house and so forth, or using electricity. You want to be emitting less carbon than you are taking out of the system. And when you dive down, you realize that that can be a kind of a difficult calculation to do. How would you do that? And would you need carbon sequestration to meet the goal? Or can you do it just by switching to non-carbon emitting sources? Is that doable? And when you start asking those questions, you realize that this is a very complicated technical problem that needs to be addressed at every level of the community, the state, the nation, and the world in order to come up with the right answers. It's something that you have to plan in order to arrive at the solution. And for example, the governor of Massachusetts has declared a goal of net zero emissions for the state by 2050. how is he going to get there? We don't actually know yet. So our own state representative, Joe Moschino, filed a bill to require the state to create such a plan, as well as to meet specific goals at 2040 and 2030 as well, because part of the state planning problem has been no interim goals, so the planning hasn't been as good as it might be. This is something that requires planning at all levels. What will we do here in Hingham if the state says to us, okay, we need you to meet your part of this goal, how are you going to do it? It would be wise for us to have those answers up front. Right now, Hingham Net Zero is engaged in trying to get the word out to residents and businesses in Hingham about what they can individually do at their residence, their business, their cars, their transportation, to reduce their own personal carbon impact. Because it's true that any one person's personal decisions may or may not really contribute effectively, but if those personal decisions are part of a larger plan, and we know that if we can get 60% of Hingham households to put solar on their roof, that's going to contribute, or if we know that if we can get 60% of Hingham households to switch to electric cars, how much that's going to contribute. If you can point to those individual decisions as contributing to a plan that you can see we're going to get there, then you can make a really good case. I got very interested in the idea of having Hingham have a plan to get to net zero at 2050 when I found out that other towns are doing that. Concord has such a plan. They have a climate advisory board that is working on developing their plan, and they are of interest as a model for us because they have a municipal light plant. Other towns that are working on developing these plans, Belmont has had one, and what appeals to me about it is that I live here in Hingham. I can't change what the national government does so much without, you know, beyond casting my vote. And I cannot participate so much in the international discussions about where we should go. But I live right here in Hingham, and I want to be able to make a change where when my children ask me in 20 years what I did, I'll be able to tell them. I got my best advice from another Hingham resident who recommended a solar installer to me, who installed the solar at our previous home where we lived on Hersey Street for 40 years. We put solar in, and then we found a house we fell in love with on Main Street and moved to Main Street and immediately put solar over there. So the joke is we're solarizing Hingham one house at a time. We were able to do that easily by finding an installer that was recommended by a friend who, in the end, joined Hingham Net Zero with us.
John Borger is one of the founding members of Hingham Net Zero, and one of the roles he's taken on is that of climate coach. So, John, could you explain what climate coaching is?
Climate coach is simply somebody within Hingham Net Zero who has personal experience or expertise around one or more of the strategies that people might be interested in pursuing to lower their carbon footprint.
So you volunteer your time to help build awareness, to educate Hingham residents. You're literally giving up your free time to pursue this. Why is it so important to you that you do this? You mentioned a bit of that, but from a personal level, why do you feel it's important to commit your time?
So personally, you know, why this is important to me is that, subsequent to getting involved in Hingham Net Zero, I read a couple of books that had a huge impact on me. One was The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace Wells. And another was a book called Falter by Bill McKibben, who's a very well-known climate reporter and writer and activist. And both of those books do a great job in helping you visualize and understand the impacts that are coming from climate change. If we don't reverse course, right now we're at 1.1, I think, degrees centigrade warming compared to pre-industrial levels. The IPCC says we should stay below 1.5. We're not on track to do that. In fact, we're on track to hit more than 4 degrees of global warming. So for me, this provides a lot of additional urgency. And also, one of the things that we probably don't realize is that fully half the carbon that's in the atmosphere today has been put there since the debut of the Seinfeld show in 1989. In other words, the last 30 years of my adult life. And I realize we did this. I'm responsible. So I'm responsible for trying to do as much as I can to change course, to kind of change the trajectory that we're on.
So let's focus a little bit more on residential solar. Clearly not every house will be an ideal candidate for installing solar panels. What are some of the conditions that we're looking for when considering a solar installation?
Well, primarily what you're looking for is a good sized roof with predominantly some degree of southern exposure, free of large amounts of shade or other impediments, although those can be dealt with. We had to move vent stacks, for instance, when we install our panels. We were lucky we didn't have to cut down any trees, but you may have to trim some limbs if they're casting shade on your roof. I would encourage people to go to Google Project Sunroof. You enter your address and it gives you a picture of your roof highlighted in various shades of yellow. And the brighter the shade of yellow your roof is, the more solar viable your roof is. So Boston Solar did our panels and calculated that our roof was about 87% efficient. The cutoff for solar loans, I believe, is 70%. So you've got a significant leeway there.
So I think for a lot of homeowners, cost is going to be a big factor. It is a significant investment to install solar.
Yep.
What would you say to reassure homeowners that they will eventually be able to recoup that investment?
What I would say to homeowners about your investment is the economics are really compelling in favor of doing solar. So if you've got an average monthly electric bill of, say, $150, out of that $150, you're going to be able to purchase the solar panels. You'll be able to make your payments on whatever loan you take out. Plus, you're going to be saving a lot of money on your electric bill because now you're producing electricity. You're not using as much. The Hingham Municipal Light Plant gives a credit to you. In the scale that we're talking about, that's going to be worth something around $4,000. So it's going to take you several years to work down that credit. So you've got an asset that is basically costing you nothing. The opportunity cost, if you didn't do it, would be that you would be spending about $36,000 over 20 years for electricity.
So in addition to cost, I think another big concern for homeowners is the appearance. What have you learned about how solar panels affects the resale value of your home?
Zillow did a study and concluded that solar panels add about 4.1% to the overall value of your house. Now, the median value of a house in Hingham is somewhere north of $800,000. So you're talking about adding about $32,000 in value to your house. That's more going to pay for, that will pay for your investment in the solar panels and more. So it's, again, it's pretty compelling. There are really no reasons not to do it.
Right. So let's say you have solar panels on your house and you're generating this energy. If you don't use it all in your own household, what happens to the excess? Does it get wasted? Do you sell it? What happens next?
Oh, this is the cool part.
Yeah.
Because you become, in effect, a little wholesale supplier the Hingham Municipal Light Plant. Electricity's got to go somewhere, and if you can't use it immediately, it goes into your breaker panel, and if you can't use it all, say and it's a beautiful day like today, we're not running anything, but those panels are chugging away, they're producing a lot of electricity, that's going right back into the grid. My neighbors are using that electricity, and the Hingham Municipal Lighting Plant is paying me their average wholesale cost, which is about 11 cents, I think, per kilowatt hour. So what you can't use, you're contributing to the community and you get paid for it.
Great. So the sun's shining today, but not every day is a sunny day. So what happens when it's a little bit more cloudy and your panels aren't chugging away?
The short answer is nothing. You're not producing much electricity on a cloudy day. But the solar companies that specialize in doing this, when they give you projections, they're doing that based on data of, you know, average sunlight per year, and they're factoring in cloudy days. So, for instance, Boston Solar gave me an estimate for productivity of my panels over 10 years, and they actually guarantee those numbers. So they're able to crunch those numbers pretty accurately, and they're conservative. And during those times, of course, since you're not producing electricity, you have to buy your electricity from the Hingham Municipal Lighting Plant at their retail price of about 17 cents a kilowatt hour.
So clearly Hingham has a number of residents there that are very knowledgeable and have done a lot of research on solar installation. John is a perfect example of that. So for homeowners out there who are thinking that solar might be a good option for them, what should they do next?
I would recommend that you try to watch the presentation on hinghamnetzero.org,
yep,
and then take advantage of our climate coaching service. It's free. We really want to help people who are interested, and it's really the fastest way to get after it. I'd also emphasize that some of these incentives that we're talking about are time limited. The main incentives are the federal tax credit. That's currently at 26%. That's going to decline to 22% the first of next year. And then after 2021, it's going away. So if you're interested, you really want to get started now. And the other incentives quickly are Massachusetts, you get a $1,000 tax credit. And the Department of Energy Resources also gives you a rebate, a cash rebate. So if you're investing $25,000 in solar panels, within a year, you're going to get $11,000 back of that investment. It's hard to think about acquiring another asset where you get 40% of the value back in the first year, but that's the case. That's why, one of the reasons why solar and the economics of solar for a homeowner are so compelling, because the society, the culture wants you to do this. You know, the federal government and the state have provided these, and the utilities have provided these incentives. So you're leaving money on the table if you don't do it.
Lots of good information. So thanks, John, for speaking with us, and thank you for volunteering your time to help encourage solar here in Hingham.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Ann.
Our town is slowly coming around to the benefits of solar. Several homeowners have installed solar panels at their homes and have been very satisfied with the results. We spoke with Susan Randall Harbert about her family's experience with installing solar and whether she'd recommend it to friends and neighbors.
Once we decided, we had a gentleman come from Revision like within 3 days and do an analysis and produce a schematic of what our roof would look like and how much it would produce, et cetera, et cetera. You know, after negotiating the contract, et cetera, that probably took a couple weeks. We were signed up by October 1st, and the installation didn't happen until January because of weather, and they also had lots of demand. But so it was installed in January, and they're very sensitive to our potential concern with, you know, snow on the roof and harming the roof. And they were scheduled to come out one day when it had snowed, and they said, don't worry, they'd shovel the roof off. Well, we were very concerned about that, and they were great. They worked with us. I said, wait until it melts. I really don't want you hurting our roof. Within, you know, a couple days, our roof melted, and they came out and installed it. And I think from start to finish, it was 3 days, just done. And, you know, it was a lot of work. They had to rewire things. They put conduit through our attic, obviously the roof panels. There was a lot to be done, and they did a fabulous job. No complaints. Yes, we have an app. Look at my phone every day and see what I'm producing. It's a great app. It shows even by specific panel how much I'm producing. So I have stats on how much I produce during the day, by month, by year. I can sync it with my Hingham light bill to sort of coordinate, see if they're sort of suggesting we're making the same amount. So it's a kind of a fun thing to track. My brother has solar, as I mentioned, up in Maine, and we're often comparing who's making more energy on any given day. I designed the system so that we would produce more than we currently need, because I believe in the future, you know, we're going to be using more electricity, given that our next car will definitely be an electric vehicle. And, you know, I've done things like got rid of our old gas-powered lawnmower, and now I have a battery-powered lawnmower, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, clean energy is the way to go. So I wanted to put as many panels on my roof as I could possibly put on there. Thrilled! Yes, I mean, it makes me smile every time I come out and look at them. Yeah, it's a great thing. You know, I've been concerned about the environment and the climate crisis for a very long time. I remember the first Earth Day. Yes, I'm that old. And so, yes, I'm very happy that I'm doing my small little bit to try to help out. Not really. My immediate neighbors, I informed them that we are doing this. Not that they are visible from either of my neighbors. But no, unfortunately, and I do say unfortunately, they're on the back of my house, so many of my neighbors don't know that I've done that. I kept my Revision Solar advertising sign down by my mailbox for months, hoping maybe it would generate some questions or whatever. It hasn't. And my plan is, once I've had a full year of experience, to, you know, do some social media sort of posting about my experience and be able to show how much energy I produced and what I've saved. You know, I guess the advice I would have is to use my company. I mean, I only have experience with one company, Revision, and I was just really, really happy with them. I mean, that was, again, my main concern. I mean, when solar first came out, you heard about a lot of fly-by-night solar companies. And so I guess my suggestion would be, whatever company you pick, make sure you get references. For me, Revision hadn't done any other homes, I don't think, in Hingham before me. And so I didn't actually get any references from Hingham, which I would have liked to have done. But, you know, honestly, getting the firsthand experience recommendation from my brother was good enough for me. And it's all worked out. You know, I was a little concerned that maybe there might be a hiccup working with Hingham Light if they hadn't worked together before. But it all went really smoothly. And I think Hingham Light is probably a good resource, too, to tap into. To get names of companies, you know, feel free to, you know, shop around. I did contact one other company, I don't remember who it was, and, you know, the numbers were basically the same, like almost identical. So at any rate, I guess that's my only advice is, you know what you're getting. And
so we've talked a lot about what Hingham residents can do to adopt residential solar. But what is the town doing to encourage a transition to renewable energy? To find out, we spoke with Hingham Municipal Lighting Plant Board member, Roger Freeman.
I've been on the Hingham Light Board since 2015. I decided to run because I wanted to bring my experience as an energy lawyer and renewable energy developer and consultant to bear to help Hingham become a greener, cleaner, more carbon responsible and sustainable utility. We get about 2% of our energy supply from solar right now. We're looking to increase it. We do have about 2 megawatts of solar generated here in town, and we're always looking to expand. It certainly does. We're very fortunate in Hingham to have a municipal lighting plant, and we have the ability to control our energy future. It's really up to us. And the 3 members of the board set the policy for the Hingham Light, and the general manager will execute it. And it really depends on what the citizens want. And we're seeing an increasing recognition and need for sustainable energy policies. And we were happy in 2018 to declare that Hingham Light would be carbon free. And we're moving in that direction through a combination of carbon-free energy supplies and renewable energy credits. I hope so. They recently energized the Hingham facility over my shoulder here, so we're now getting that renewable energy. We have Nantasket Station also is providing renewable energy to the town. And we are looking at a new facility on the landfill, and that's in the works. So hopefully we'll have more to report in the next coming year. Well, it's a good question. We just, at our last board meeting, voted to convert Hingham's solar incentive, which had been a rate credit, a bill credit, into an actual cash rebate. And so we think that will really make it easier for people to put solar on their roofs, and we're happy to do that. Hingham is very fortunate to have our own municipal lighting plant, and we really control our energy future. And so the decisions that we make on the board level will dictate how we respond to climate change. And now more than ever, we need to take aggressive action to meet this crisis. And it's not just the board or Paul Henyu, the general manager, it really is up to the people of Hingham. And so I'd encourage everyone watching this to get involved and to help us move forward. The more that the people demand change, the faster it will come. And so I really want to encourage all the citizens and ratepayers to get involved and to help us move to a cleaner, greener energy future.
There is so much untapped solar potential in our town. According to Google's Project Sunroof, 61% of roofs in Hingham are solar viable. Maybe your roof can help our town meet our carbon reduction goals. To find out more about what you can do about installing solar at home, check out the Hingham Net Zero website. Thanks so much for watching. We'll be right back.